I want to turn to the 11th chapter of Matthew. And the 28th, 29th, and 30th verses. Now, 3 weeks ago or so, I brought a message from this passage. I want to go back to it because I just barely got into it a little bit. There's more in it than what I'll get out anyway. But I want to return to this passage this morning. And trust the Lord will bless a portion of His Word to our good. These verses say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now this is Jesus speaking, and He's inviting you and me to yoke up with Him. And I pointed out last Sunday, I believe, in regard to yoking up with the Lord, that He has a way of adjusting the yoke. Now there are adjustments on yokes. When where they use oxen, they yoke them up, and if they've got one stronger than the other, they can adjust the yoke to where it'll throw a bigger part of the load on the stronger one and be some relief to the weaker one. Well, the Lord has that kind of an adjustment on His yoke. And when we yoke up with Him, He just adjusts the yoke so the load falls off on Him, the big end of it. And He bears our burdens for us. I'm reminded of Brother Rose. Of mentioned him before here. He was staying in our place, Brother Pruitt and Brother Murphy. Willie Murphy were holding meeting at our place down in Pacoima, California. They were staying at our place, and Brother Rose was staying there. So one night after service, I was back at the door meeting the people, and Brother Rose came by, shook hands with me, and went on out. Pretty soon, here he was again. Brother Pruitt had preached along this line that night, and he says, "Brother Wilson, you know, I was just thinking, Jesus drank that whole cup and just left some of the dregs for us to drink, and says now He comes back and helps us drink them." I got that thought from him, and I've carried it along with me. That's been quite a few years, but I still carry that thought that all that Jesus left for us to drink, He comes back and helps us drink it. And helps us to bear our burdens. And so He's a wonderful person to yoke up with. We all have our problems in life and our burdens and heavy loads to bear sometimes. Good thing to be yoked up with someone that will carry the load for us. And I can think of Jesus He knows human sufferings firsthand. And he knows human frailties firsthand. He came and sat among us, sat right where we sit for a period of time, tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And he knows the things that we humans have to meet here in this life. And he knows how unable we are to meet them and how insufficient we are in bearing our burdens and how abundantly able he is to bear them all for all of us. So he just says, let me have them. I'll carry them for you. Now that's great to just get yoked up with one like that.
Yes, it is.
And just carry the load. Now, when I brought a message from this passage, I think it was about 3 weeks ago now, we discussed the thought of Jesus being meek and lowly in heart, and that's what he wants us to be. Learn of him just how to do it. Just watch him, how he lived. My mother used to say that no matter how long you know a person, you'll not know them like you will after you get to living with them. And she'd advise the young folks, they were her specialty, young people, and in the regard to their courtship and their marriage and so on, she would advise them, now, maybe you've had been acquainted with this person over a long period of time, and maybe you've had a considerable courtship with them, and all you may think you know them quite well, but you'll never know them like you'll know them when you get to living with them. And that's the way it is with us and Jesus. We never learn Jesus from books, and we don't ever learn him even out of the Bible. Just in the fullest extent, we'll still learn some things about him when we get yoked up with him, get to living with him. But that's what he wants us to do. He's one that'll bear acquaintance. And we discussed the thought of Jesus' ability, the grace that he had, the knack, whatever, for just lifting people up and never casting one down. And he was a specialist in just lifting people up. He wants us to learn from him, seeing how he dealt with people, and as we see him living among mankind, dealing with all types and classes of mankind, and the compassion that he had toward them and his pity for them, and the methods that he used in dealing with them, and how he was always endeavoring to encourage and lift up. He wants us to learn how to do that too. And have that very spirit in our own bosom. It'll help us to lift up people and never to cast one down. We had the case of the woman that was taken in adultery. Jesus knew how to forgive that woman without compromising his holiness. Now Jesus was perfectly holy. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Bible said he didn't even know sin. He was perfectly holy. But he knew how to forgive a deep sinner without compromising his holiness. He said to that woman, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He never condoned her wickedness or her evil in any kind of a way, but he had a spirit of forgiveness, and he had the ability to forgive that woman of the deep sin that she had fallen into, and he just forgave her and said, go and sin no more. If he just said, oh, well, just forget it, just brush it off, he'd have been compromising his holiness on that basis. But when he told her, quit what you've been doing, let the past be the past now, and you quit that, and I'll let the past be the past, and I'll forgive you, go and sin no more, there was a perfect forgiveness without compromise. We need to learn that lesson from him. Now, he says, for us to learn of him, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He's our example. Jesus suffered for us, leaving us an example, the Word of God says. And he's our example in every phase and area of our lives. I read a book and part of it twice, and I thought it was a real good book written by Mr. Sheldon, In His Steps, or What Would Jesus Do? And a band of people in that city banded themselves together and pledged that in every issue that arose in their lives, before they made any decision in it, they'd ask the question, what would Jesus do in this case? Well, they did some very bizarre things. Them people did unusual things, clear out of the ordinary for them and their occupations and professions and different things. But when they took it to that grounds to settle it, what would Jesus do? And they decided and pledged that they would take the course that Jesus would take, that they thought Jesus would take in that case. And they took some pretty hard knocks and some pretty severe losses and all, but they carried through on that. I say that's a good model for you and me. It's a good pattern for us, and we have God's Word, and Christ is revealed to us in every part of His being and in all of His dealings with all kinds of different people. And you can look in God's Word and find the answer to your problem and how you ought to behave yourself and the course you should follow in whatever kind of a problem you have. Jesus met them all. He lived among men. He lived among all men. Wicked, righteous, and good and bad. And he lived among them all. And he manifested the spirit that he did manifest in every particular case to match the case. And we can just look in the book and find the answer to our problems and the course of our proceedings and what to do in this case and how to proceed in that. Just learn of Jesus. Now he says in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, I want to notice a thought here. We were discussing 3 weeks ago today about Jesus lifting men up and never casting them down. And here he says, the 12th chapter of Hebrews in verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Now you know about that lifting up hands when the children of Israel were in a severe battle with their enemies at one time. Moses stood out on the mountain and he held up his hands, and when he held up his hands, well, the Israelites prevailed. And when he let his hands down, the enemy prevailed. He got weary with holding his hands up. You would too. They won't just stay up there on and on. He got weary with that, and his hands came down, and the enemy prevailed. But Aaron and Hur, they discovered this little thing here. So they got a stone and sat Moses on it between them, and they held his hands up. And while his hands were held up, Israel prevailed. Now God is calling on you and me to hold up hands that have already come down. Lift up the hands that hang down. He wants us to possess within us that ability and that grace to impart to our people the ability to lift up hands that hang down and confirm the feeble knees. People that are getting weary under their burdens and faltering under severe trials. It's a great thing if one of God's children can come by and just bolster them some. Strengthen the feeble knees. Lift up the hands that hang down. In Isaiah, the 35th chapter, verses 3 through 5, he brings this thought again. Lift up the hands that hang down and confirm the feeble knees. Say to him that is of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame man shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Now, folks, this gives me a beautiful picture. A picture of what can be accomplished when you and I will lift up the hands that hang down, when we'll confirm the feeble knees, when we can say in all confidence to them that are weary, to the faint in heart, be strong, fear not, and give them that assurance from our hearts. This tells what will happen then. That God will come with a vengeance, with a recompense. He will come and save. And the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, and the lame man will leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Folks, there's a wonderful miracle wrought just by you and me under God being able to lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. And just say in strong terms, with strong assurance, to them that are faint-hearted, fear not. Be of good courage. God will strengthen thine heart. It works miraculous wonders in people's lives to have people around like that. that can actually impart something to them. Peter said to the lame man at the gate, "I don't have silver and gold, but such as I have, I give you." He had something to give. He had something to give that is worth more than silver and gold. If he had dropped a few coins in the man's cup there, he'd have soon had them gone and needed some more. But Peter fixed him up for life. He had something to give him. God wants you and me to have something to give to the people around us, to impart something to them, to bless them like Jesus would bless them, and to deal with them like Jesus would deal with them. I'm reminded of a case in Pomona, California some years back. Brother and Sister Stover and Opal and I were working on this case, and we'd made a number of trips over there and with Brother and Sister Stover and worked on this case over a period of time, and it looked to us like we weren't getting the cooperation out of the patient that we should be getting. And so finally we just kind of give up. We held a little council of war, and we just decided, came to the conclusion that God couldn't work in those kind of circumstances. And Opal and I started home. We lived about 35 miles from there, and I suppose we were maybe halfway home, and God spoke to me right through the top of that car just as clearly as I ever had him speak to me in my life. He says, "You better let me decide when I can work and when I can't, and you go on and do what I told you to do." I thought, my, that was a rude awakening. God said, "I told you to lift up the hands that hang down and confirm the feeble knees and say to them that are fearful heart, be strong." Says, "You better go on and do what I told you to do and let me decide when I can work and when I can't." Well, I just turned around and went back to Pomona. Got with Brother and Sister Stover and told them what the Lord had told me. And we all took a new hold on that case, and God undertook in it and brought out victory. But what the party needed was some lifting up of her hands. Her hands had fallen. Her knees were feeble. And she needed somebody to lift up her hands and to encourage her. And when we went to working on that line, instead of prodding and what about this and what about that and one thing and another, we begin to get somewhere. Yeah. Miracles can be wrought by just that ability and grace from God that will enable us to lift up the hands that hang down. And just, I heard a sick woman, she was very sick too, and I heard her say to a party, they asked her if she were discouraged. She said, "How could anybody be discouraged with you around? Well, I hope the Lord will make me like that. I hope the Lord will help me to have a spirit of uplift in my bosom till people just can't stay around me very long and be discouraged. And I can lift up their hands, strengthen the feeble knees." In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in verse 14, he says, "Warn them that are unruly." Now, sometimes you have to kind of get straight with folks if they're just given to unruliness. "Warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded." strengthen the weak. He's telling us to do that. Strengthen the weak, comfort the feeble-minded. Now, I don't think that when he said this, he was speaking about people that had anything wrong in their minds, in their heads, and were ready for the hospital. I don't think that's what he was talking about. I don't think he was talking about us just comforting people that aren't all there and aren't all together. He was talking about people whose mind is weak in grasping the promises of God. They can't get a hold of them. One translation says, comfort the faint-hearted. And those who kind of stumble at the word and stagger at the promises, comfort, strengthen. That word comfort is a compound word. It's composed of the Latin prefix com and the Latin word forte or fortem, meaning strength or to be strengthened. And com means with or together, and the literal interpretation of it is to be strengthened by being with. Now, when it comes to you and me possessing the ability to comfort, we must have that grace from God within us that our presence and the things that we say and the bearing that we hold around discouraged people and people that are having problems in their faith and people that are staggering at the promises of God is that by being with us, they'll be strengthened. Comforted, strengthened by being with. I think there's some philosophy involved in the instruction in God's Word. If any are sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. I think when people are sick, like I think this text is talking about, I don't think this is talking just about people that have a headache or upset stomach or so on. They can get to where the preacher is just as easy as they can have the preacher come to them a lot of times. But he's talking about a person that's down for the count. They're really critically ill. They're sick. And a person in that state and condition is in no condition to pray good and to get their minds collected, to get a hold of the promises of God. And the philosophy of this is get somebody on the job that isn't sick. Somebody that's able to pray and concentrate and get a hold of the promises of God, and that you can be comforted and strengthened by being with folks like that. Get them there. Get them on the job. People that aren't sick. And let them pray. So, I'd like to get us out of the idea of thinking when God said to comfort the feeble-minded, he is just talking about bearing with folks that wasn't all together and didn't have all their faculties. But he's talking about folks that aren't all together spiritually and that are faint-hearted in trusting the Lord and in believing his promises, getting hold of the things that will bring victory to them, to comfort them.
Brother Wilson?
Yes?
Stiglitz says here, you hold on to the feeble ones. Don't let them go. Don't give up on them, but hold on to them.
Yes. In 2 Corinthians, the first chapter and the fourth verse, Now the verse 3 refers to God as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now God is the author of mercies. God delights in mercy. If we watch Him and learn of Him, we'll learn the value of mercy and we'll learn to delight in mercy too. And we'll feel better in administering mercy than we will judgment. God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort others with that comfort wherewith we also ourselves are comforted of God. It just passes through us to our fellow men. God wants us to be channels, not reservoirs, not just holding in the blessings of God and His grace for our souls, but just a channel through which these things can flow through and out to bless our brethren and our fellow men. He says the fruit of the righteous, Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. God wants you and me to be fruit-bearing Christians, bearing the fruits of the Spirit, that those who are weary and those who are in trouble and those who are weak and need picking up and need help, they can come and pick the fruit off of our lives and eat that and be refreshed. Yes. And be strengthened. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Let none of us be satisfied without being a fruit-bearing Christian. The fruits of the Spirit. He says, let not the eunuch of the Lord say, I'm a dry tree. Let's don't dry up and wither. Let's don't be satisfied without fruit. But let's seek God to help us to bear the fruits of the Spirit, that those who are weary that we come in contact with may pick fruit off of our lives and find it a source of life to them. Jesus lived that way. One of our songs says, when the world was held in bondage under Satan's dismal sway, Jesus healed their dread diseases, and He's just the same today. That compassion of the Lord Jesus. I've been struck numbers of times with the expression in the ministry and life of Jesus. He saw people in this condition and that condition and this trouble and that affliction and sickness. Says He was moved with compassion. He had a type and kind of compassion that moved Him to do something about the situation. The man that was at Bethesda's pool, been there for 38 years. And he was crippled and he couldn't get in the pool. And other people ran ahead of him. And he was there on his pallet. And Jesus came along that way. And he passed through the crowd, said there was a multitude there. Just a multitude of people, but he passed through the crowd and he found this fella. No doubt the most hopeless and helpless man there was there. But he went right straight to him and administered aid to him. Helped him, healed him, got him up from there, and he rolled up his bedroll and carried it to his house. The dying thief on the cross, that penitent thief, Jesus was moved with compassion toward him. When he begged for mercy and said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus took time out in his dying pangs to speak peace to that troubled soul. Said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I've thought of that like this. There's just a hard and fast eternal friendship that was developed right there instantly in just those moments. And it's all the same as though Jesus said, say, I'm going to paradise today. I'll come by and pick you up on the way. And you can just go right on in with me. Now, isn't that great? His compassion, moved with compassion toward the underprivileged. He saw the people and they were hungry and he had compassion on them and fed them miraculously. He saw the multitudes as sheep going astray without a shepherd and was moved with compassion toward them. Had mercy on them. Began to gather them together. He's the gatherer. He's the unifier. To him shall the gathering of the people be. And he began to gather them together. And he knew how to deal with them when he got them. God help you and me to learn how to deal with humanity and with human problems in a way to bless their lives and help them in their problems and impart courage and strength to them. Paul says, Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, in all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's the way Jesus was. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I dwelt on that point some 3 weeks ago. How that what a man is in his heart, out of the heart are the issues of life. And whatever he is in his heart, that's just how he is. That's what he is. Every time you see him, he'll be like that. If we are a partaker of his abundant grace, that's part of it. We will be made meek and lowly in heart. And when you're meek and lowly in heart, you'll be that way all the time. Just every time we see you, that's the way you'll be. Out of the heart are the issues of life. God wants you and me to learn and learn well the lessons that pertain to our being a follower of Christ. We have a lesson in Christ's meekness and lowliness. Oh, we have numbers of them. In his being a servant to humankind, he was the servant of all. He even was a servant to his own apostles and washed their feet. Wiped him with a towel. Lowly Jesus. Showing us how to be lowly. Teaching us lessons of lowliness. And in the second chapter of 1 Peter, he gives us an outstanding lesson in meekness. Says, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he was persecuted, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Just put himself in the hands of God. Now, God, you take care of me and take care of these fellows too and take care of this situation. It's all in your hands. And he never answered a word. Meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Folks, here it is. Here's the place where real rest to the soul is. When we get a hold of God and His Son Jesus in a real way, till that grace flows into us, and that Spirit, we imbibe that Spirit and are a partaker of His life, there's where the rest is, the rest of the soul. Amen.